The yellow marker post over towards the opposite bank marks the bow of the Grasse Dieu. I have with me Brandon Mason, one of our marine archaeologists. Brandon, how did you get involved with the Grasse Dieu?
Well, I've been fascinated with this ship for a long time, and as a master's student at Southampton University, I had the opportunity to develop a project design for my dissertation, assisted by Dr. Jonathan Adams.
I believe this was a very important vessel, built for Henry V. Can you tell us who built it and where?
It was built by Robert Byrd in Southampton between 1417 and 1418, under the direction of William Soper, a merchant and burgess of the city, who was later to become clerk of the King's ships.
And what was so special about the way it was constructed?
Well, at this time, northern European ships were built in the clinker fashion, with overlapping planks rather than edge-to-edge laid runs. This gave them flexibility more than strength. Think of a Viking ship skimming lightly across the sea, flexing and riding over each cresting wave. But in the early 15th century, there was a new naval threat of Mediterranean origin, the carrack, an early version of the hull type that the later and more well-known Mary Rose would be based on. In response, Henry V commissioned the largest vessel that had ever been seen. But rather than using the heavy construction of the Mediterranean type, the English shipbuilders were unable or likely outright refused to use this new foreign technique. But building such an enormous ship using this very northern approach presented an enormous challenge, one that was answered by using three thicknesses of planking combined to provide the hull strength necessary to support the massive framing elements. How and why Grasse Dieu was built in this way has been the primary focus of archaeological inquiry since then.
If the hull was very strong, it means it could have been much bigger than previous vessels. Just how big was the Grasse Dieu?
Well, as no original plans have survived, with the archaeological remains covering an area of 35 metres in length by about 12 metres, there is a great deal of speculation as to the ship's original size. It was doubtless the largest ship to have ever been built at that time, and recorded comments of the time bear testimony to that. It may have been up to 218 feet or 66 metres in length by about 50 feet or 15 metres in breadth, and around 1,400 tons. Probably she had large structures fore and aft, emulating land castles, castles at sea if you like. Grasse Dieu was the largest ship ever built for an English king, the last great ship built for 50 years, and was not matched in size until Henry VIII's Great Harry, of similar proportion in the 16th century.
So how many crew would it have had?
The contemporary accounts suggest a crew of about 250. The ship was armed with three cannon and a company of archers.
It sounds like a very impressive fighting vessel. What action did it see?
Grasse Dieu was originally built to fight the Genoese and the French, and was redundant by the time it was completed, since Henry had gained control of the channel. It put to sea just once, suffering a mutiny off the Isle of Wight in the process, and after Henry's death in 1422 was laid up on the River Hamble. A skeleton crew was assigned to look after the vessel, and three other royal warships were also laid up there, until 1439, when Grasse Dieu was struck by lightning. The hull caught fire and was burned to the waterline. It may have been that it was allowed to burn, as this was the easiest way of salvaging the valuable iron nails from the ship. Most valuable items had already been removed by this time and sold off. It is said that the canvas sails were sold to artists.
That's a tragic history. I understand the wreck was not identified as being Grasse Dieu until fairly recently. What sort of archaeological studies have been done on the site since then?
Well, interest was revived in the 19th century when the ship was thought to be the remains of a Danish Viking warship. Victorian fascination with Vikings led to an antiquarian approach to its investigation. Timber was recovered with explosives, for example, and these timbers were used to make such diverse objects as furniture and even a walking stick for Edward VII. In the 1930s, Anderson and Prynne began the first true archaeological investigation of the site, and they mapped out the distribution of timbers buried in the mud. Alexander McKee photographed Grasse Dieu from the air in the 1960s, shortly before discovering Mary Rose. In the 1970s, the University of Southampton bought the wreck for a princely sum of £5. Subsequent investigation focused on the environmental conditions on the wreck. In 2004, John Adams, Justin Dix and Ruth Pletz began a geophysical investigation that produced a 3D model of the hull.
And you were personally involved in the most recent study in 2008. What was different about this one?
Well, for that most recent campaign, we aimed to test the 3D imagery through a traditional excavation. We placed a series of trenches that would enable us to identify the true extent and dimensions of the surviving hull. A better understanding of the vessel's construction was obtained, but inevitably limited projects presented more questions than answers. The work showed that the 3D survey was a fast and accurate way to visualise a buried shipwreck. There were also some interesting finds that were not anticipated due to the ship having been mothballed. Possibly the only one of Grastieu's massive nails was recovered in a large concretion, as well as a pewter rose badge that is not yet securely dated, but may have been a contemporary emblem or a regimental badge of a more recent origin.
And where can we find out more about the Grastieu?
Well, the best resource is the International Journal of Nautical Archaeology, the IJNA, and several timbers are held at Botley Town Hall in Hampshire, as well as at the National Maritime Museum in Greenwich.
Thank you very much, Brandon. Now take the path that leads you closest to the shoreline. There are some paths leading off to your right. Take the second one that you find, and follow it right down to the water's edge.